broadcast field, and it was certainly a problem for me, is the more technical we become as a society, the less accessible equipment becomes in the broadcast studios. And so the board that we use now is one of the last accessible ones because all the buttons and switches and knobs are pressable. But I use that to broadcast, and then I use a software program called Wire Ready, which is a broadcast package. And that also I use with a Windows 7 machine. Wire Ready doesn't play particularly well with Windows 10, which is turning out to be a problem. And I use JAWS or NVDA with that as well. So, and Robert, you and I still need to get together and work on some Braille Edge stuff because I need a new note taker. So.
Can I add a comment?
Of course.
We also have five other studios besides Studio A, which is where we do the live recordings and the live newspaper readings. The other five studios all have a monitor and a keypad, and that's where our volunteers record their programming. Those programs are saved on that, with that equipment, and the file, the digital file, is then sent to Ryan's computer where it comes in, and that's where he will open it, listen to it, rename it. There's always an introduction and an outro to every program, and some of those are still some older voices that we've had from the past. And Michael does some, Michael Halula, our weekend board operator. So all of the files that come in from the recordings come into Ryan's computer as well. We also have folks that read from home using their own equipment. They have their own studio, or nowadays it's easy enough that they can just use a microphone software on their computer, and they will record things. We have folks that record the Wall Street Journal from home and other programs, and then those are uploaded through Dropbox also to Ryan's computer. So there is a lot of technology and a lot of hands-on parts of the process that Ryan does in the office. And in addition to the newspapers and the other content, we also read the department store ads that are in the Sunday paper, and we read the grocery store ads that come in the Food Express packet. And we had staff last year call most of those stores to find out if what we were reading were just things from the Omaha market. Most everything we read is a regional advertisement, so the Walmart in Grand Island probably has the same specials as the Walmart in Omaha or the Hy-Vee's across the region. So we read those for an hour each week, and they're also replayed. I'd like to tell you a couple of stories about some of our readers because that really tells the story of what we do. There's a gentleman named Warren. You guys probably know Warren from mm-hmm. Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And he records on a handheld device the grocery store ads that air on Wednesdays at noon. He records them from Google Home onto a handheld recorder. And then he plays it back and makes his grocery list. And then his ride comes to pick him up, and he's able to do his grocery shopping by listening to our ads. He called us a few months ago, and we read the ads according to the alphabetical listing of the stores. And he only shops at two stores, and he wanted to know if we would read both of those stores back to back, so he didn't have to listen to the entire hour. I can appreciate wanting to save time, as I'm sure you guys can as well. So we said, well, no one's ever requested that. We'll go ahead and try it, but if we get any complaints, we might have to go back to the other way. We have not received any complaints.
Right.
And Warren has called our office on a number of occasions, wants us to personally thank our volunteer named Matthew that reads those grocery ads. Warren just really appreciates it. We have a gal named Edie out in Hastings that calls us whenever her radio doesn't work. She does have an internet radio. She is low vision and she can't see the buttons. And Ryan mentioned that it has multiple buttons on the front of it. So for a blind or a low vision person, it's very easy to hit the wrong button and mess up the reception frequency, whatever. That's why I brought Ryan along. He's more tech savvy than I am, and I use the layman's terms, and he used the correct terminology. But she can actually call us, and based on the button that's next to the on-off switch, we can go through three or four pushes on that button to get her back on the internet stream. So it's just interesting to have those individuals call. We have a very elderly gal named Lucy that lives in Council Bluffs that listens to our radio. She actually used to be on the air. I don't know if you guys remember Lucille Dunleavy. She used to work with the gal that did our cooking show, and it was live or recorded. I imagine it was recorded. But as the sighted person would read a recipe, Lucy would interject how to do things as a blind person to cook. Well, she doesn't do that program anymore, but she still listens to us. She has an internet radio and I believe an NET, no, maybe it's NET and FM. She has two of our radios. But she was quoted in, Iowa West gave us a grant, and they also did a video of some of the recipients of their grant funding, and we were one, and they came out and did some video. And then they wanted to interview one of our listeners, so they because she's in Iowa, they interviewed Lucy. And one of the things that Lucy said was, she doesn't get out as much anymore, but when she does get out, and the conversation swings this way and that, she feels like she knows what people are talking about because she listens to the newspaper every day. So those are some stories from our listeners that let you know the importance of our programming. We are serving over 9,100 listeners now. So we've grown almost 2,500 listeners a year in the last 2, 3, 4 years, which is excellent. But you guys know how many blind and visually impaired there are across the state. We have a long way to go. Robert, you ask about other jobs in the office. Me, as the executive director, I do a lot of the outreach and presentations to groups, fundraising. In 2018, 4% of our budget were sponsorships of our programming. I'd like to increase that if we can. As you guys know, we don't get any tax dollars. We're not a United Way agency, so we're blessed that about 63% of our funding comes from grants and mostly community foundation grants. We get, of course, individual donations, corporate donations, honorariums and memorials. We participate in the Omaha Gives in May. There's a Lincoln Gives, and I know there are across the state. And then Giving Tuesday, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So we do as much as we can to fundraise. We do have a restricted grant fund. Some of the funds that we receive, those funders want that money just to be spent on receivers or broadcast equipment. So that is a separate fund. We also have a legacy fund, and we can draw on that if needed throughout the year.
Ryan and Jane, can you talk a little bit about the significant role that volunteers play in your nonprofit delivery service?
They're huge to us. We have over 70 regular volunteers that come in on a regular basis to read all of those newspapers and articles and books. We still have one lady that reads books on cassettes. Thanks to Ryan, he has to digitalize that every other month when she brings her books in. But volunteers are extremely important. They do most of the reading on our station. If you tune in anytime, I would encourage you to go to our website and go to the podcasts. If you weren't able to tune in on the day of our 45th anniversary open house, it was September 18th, we did a live 2-hour program, and that's on there. But there's also a piece that's almost 8 minutes, and Ryan put this together, and it's a number of our volunteers just doing intros or outtakes and talking, and just the radio or just the pieces of publication that they read. And it's delightful to listen to the different voices, and there's a couple on the end that are no longer with us, and so that's a cool thing to hear. Back to Robert, I wanted to finish up who else works in our office. Becca Jurdy is our assistant director. Becca writes grants full-time, thank God for her, because she likes to do that, and she has been very successful in increasing the amount of grants that we get. She also does our social media, a lot of the technology in the office. She can actually take a CPU apart and replace the sound card, and if we've got one of the pieces of equipment that malfunctions, she's not afraid to take it apart and look at it and try to fix it. So that is huge. We don't have an IT department. We don't have an IT person other than Becca. And she also processes our wages and things that go to the accountant. So she's very valuable. Becca, Ryan, and I are the only full-time employees in our office. We have a part-time volunteer coordinator that works half a days, 8 to noon, Monday through Friday. And then Michael works the soundboard on the weekends from 9 to noon, Saturday and Sunday. So that's all the staff we have. So volunteers are very important. We'll have volunteers in this week. You guys will be getting, probably everybody in this room just about, will get our mailing, our annual appeal letter that goes out. And then in the spring, we mail an annual report. So we have volunteers come in and help with that. And then we'll also be doing a listener survey, and we have volunteers coming in to make phone calls to call our listeners.
Do you guys still do the movie on Saturday nights?
No.
No, I didn't know.
You want to address that one?
We do not. That was my predecessor, Paul Stebbins, yeah, and Ann Pelican. That was one of their projects. And one of the things that we worried about was copyright infringement with that. And so we took that away.
Okay.
I have since learned other radio reading services apparently run described programming. So it's something that I've toyed with the idea of bringing it back, but really I replaced it with a couple of other programs that are also very popular. So that's very much on the bubble. But yeah, that's why we pulled it.
Okay.
Was just over copyright concerns.
Sure.
One thing I want to go back to, Robert, you asked about blind people doing other jobs.
Yeah.
And I love that question because since I got here, I have thoroughly been convinced, certainly it's already been proven that a blind person can be an executive director of a radio reading service. My former boss is blind, and there are, I believe, several other blind people around the country. I am also thoroughly convinced that a blind person could be the volunteer coordinator. We actually looked at a person for that earlier this year. It didn't work out, but it's something that we're certainly open to. One of the obstacles that we've run into is we use a software called eTapestry. I don't know if anybody here is familiar with that, but the accessibility of that is very iffy. If we could get around that, because I believe eTapestry is our database, that's how a person would look up volunteers as well as listeners. It's basically our office database, our listener and volunteer database. If we could get around that, that would be the biggest obstacle. So it's an ongoing discussion.
So eTapestry is not accessible?
It's very dubious.
Okay.
There are parts of it that are accessible and parts that are not. So, but yes, Jane has been very open-minded to the possibility. My role has been filled by blind people in the past. Paul Stebbins, before him, Dick's Lab. I don't know who did it before Dick, but they, of course, were both blind.
He was
blind.
Parker? Richard Parker?
Well, was the director, though.
Richard Parker was the director, yeah.
But then Dick started out with like what Ryan's doing, and then I think did become the executive director.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Ryan likes to learn about the management side of Radio Talking Book, and I have an open door. He's welcome to come in anytime. So when we have a finance committee meeting, or if Beck and I are working on the budget for the next year, he'll come in and he'll sit for a while. Then when he doesn't like what he hears, he leaves and goes, okay, that's enough of that. There's parts of my job I don't care for either. There's parts, everybody's job, there's parts you don't really care for, but you have to do them. So it is kind of funny. But he asks some really good questions. And I think it's helped him learning some of the other management things and issues about budgeting and how you budget for equipment and different things. It gives him more understanding for his job, and there's no reason why he couldn't step in and do that. And he does a lot of the volunteer coordinator work. We've had 3 volunteer coordinators in the last year. So it's tough, you guys know this, to hire part-time people and pay them not very much, and there's no benefits, and to keep good people, and we've had good people. But Ryan will call our volunteers if we need subs. He'll call the volunteers to make sure that if we haven't seen them in a while, that they come in. So there are a lot of the things that we work really well together as a team, I think. And the times when we haven't had a volunteer coordinator, we've all had to communicate with who's not coming in, who do we need to call, and we've continued to do that even with the new volunteer coordinator that we have. So Ryan shares some of those responsibilities as well. And he has a great personality with people in the office. not only the staff, but the volunteers as well.
Question. Certainly, some of the methods of delivery of your content, anybody is can tune in and listen to. When it's provided over the internet or secondary audio programming on the TV or whatnot. If somebody wanted to sign up for a radio and have you send them a radio, of course there's a blindness requirement that they're going to have to fulfill, but is there a residency requirement?
Our radios are sent out across Nebraska, and there's a sliver of Southwest Iowa that we serve that the Iowa Radio Service doesn't serve. Okay. So yes, there is a resident. I mean, we get our analytics from our website. We're in the future going to get Google Analytics as well. So we know that there are people listening outside Nebraska and Iowa, and that's okay because if they're listening on the internet, it's not costing us anything. If a care facility wants a radio or something, they are in the state or in Southwest Iowa.
Okay. That's actually the reason I was asking was I was wondering about how well you're able to serve Council Bluffs.
We do serve Council Bluffs and Pottawatomie County and a little bit north and a little bit south of that. And it's trial and error. If someone calls in or a care facility from that area and wants a radio, we will send it to them. If it doesn't work, they send it back. Okay. So, and that is part of the reason how we've been able to increase our numbers is, of course, if we put a radio in a facility, then we count beds. If it's in a hospital, we count beds. Mm-hmm. And the really nice thing about that is the activity directors that we work with know the residents in their facility that are blind or visually impaired or print impaired. And they'll encourage them to come down and listen, and then those folks can get a radio in their room as well. And earlier you mentioned the blind, being blind to get one of our radios. We also will give a radio to someone that's print impaired. Mm-hmm. If they have Parkinson's or they've had a stroke or they have dyslexia or they have some other condition where they can't hold a newspaper or read, they can also have our radio. The commission is very helpful that way because you guys are vouching for someone, you know, that they do need a radio. The same is true of a care facility that wants a radio. We know that there are folks there that are print impaired or blind and how much those radios help. We've also put radios in senior centers, and that has helped because there are so many people out there that are visually impaired. And we're starting to put radios in libraries as well. And especially in the small rural communities, that's been a boon because, again, those librarians know the people in the community. There's one, Ryan, do you remember the town where, I think it's Columbus, recently got a radio. And they have a group of, I think it's an NFB group that meets on a monthly basis there.
Yep.
Yeah, and so how exciting is that for us? It's another way for them to hear our programming and then maybe get a radio for themselves.
So
thank you again to the commission for helping us with that.
I've never thought to ask this question before, and I certainly the answer could be different for the other entities, but maybe it's not. But I know Newsline and the National Library for the Blind and Visually Impaired, they all have similar requirements where they will, you know, they need a certification of a visual disability, but they also are helpful. They'll also take on listeners that are dyslexic or have other print challenges. What about just simply those that are incapable of just reading at all, that are just illiterate?
Oh, I don't know about that. Do you?
They have no trackable disability of any kind. They just simply don't know how to read.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of anyone that has come to our attention that wanted a radio However, we have put radios in, like the Intercultural Senior Center down on Center Street, and those folks are, they have several nationalities down there, and they're using it as a tool for folks, because you could say they're English language impaired, I guess, but they're using it for English as a second language. So I'm guessing if we got a request, we would probably give them a radio. As far as we're concerned, they have no other way to get the news. Even the news on the radio or the television, it's sound bites. You don't get the detail that you get in the printed word. Right. The same with Newsline. That's the advantage of that. Right. You get an extended story. So I'm not sure. I believe we would probably do that. The other program that we have is our Listening Link program, which you guys are aware of, I'm sure, as well. We read educational materials for colleges or any student. We have read for a person in HR at Outlook that needed a book read to her, and we've read that for them. Outlook paid us the same fee that the colleges pay. Those are ADA funds that are used. But we've also been asked by people that are part-time students that don't qualify for the ADA funds. And so we have read a few books at no cost, just because we feel like, you know, that's a way for us to give back and do something for somebody that isn't going to be able to get it paid for.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I have a small question, kind of a weird one, but I always like that kind.
No,
so, the device that you will hook into, like at a retirement home or hospital, you call it?
Yeah, the Barracks Box.
So, where'd that name come from?
I don't know where that came from. Presumably, it was
might be hijacked.
It's the name. It's called a Barracks Box. It's called a Barracks, B-A-R-I-X. So you can Google it. And there's an X-Streamer and
InStreamer.
There's various models of that.
So it's a brand name.
It's a brand name.
Oh. So yeah. That's what I was wondering, because I would just wonder, well, like barracks, well, that's because, you know, lots of people live there, you know, military barracks.
And the other thing about the barracks, we have actually also used those. You can hook it up to, it has to be hooked hardwired. So you have to hook it up to the hardwire thing, what's that called, the cable? And you can hook speakers up to it, and it can work as an internet device. So we've done that for a few people as well.
You're thinking of an Ethernet cable.
Thank you, Ryan. Yes, Ethernet cable.
Yes.
I love the competition.
Well, thank you, guys.
This is how it is every day, you guys.
Yeah, well, it's obviously you guys get along.
We do get along.
I was going to say one thing about the Barracks Box, and you took it. That was you can hook it up as a speaker. But the difference between the X-Streamer and the InStreamer, we're getting kind of tech nerdy here, but the X-Streamer basically plays the internet signal. It allows it to be output somewhere to a speaker, to a sound system. Again, that's what KIOS is now using to broadcast. An InStreamer allows the Barracks Box to be a component that relays the signal internally somewhere else. There you go, Mike.
Talk about the Futuri, too.
Well, Futuri is just our streaming service. That's what we use to stream. It's incredibly overpriced. We pay like $200 a month for it, but it's well worth it because it's just a component that we hook in. Maybe some of you who have done your own streaming know you can set up your own server. You can get software like Shoutcast or whatever, and we looked into doing that for a much cheaper price, but we just decided that the tech support was worth it, the 24/7 on-demand tech support. And so we kept Futuri. But of course, your stream, this is kind of the danger of getting rid of our landlines. Your stream is dependent upon a reliable internet service provider, and Cox, as we're finding out, is not terribly reliable. So
CenturyLink.
Yeah. CenturyLink, well, yeah.
Is there any of them that's totally reliable?
No. I was over in Denver, and it was Cox versus, or Comcast versus CenturyLink. Same dilemma. So yeah. That's... But there just are more advantages to going with just a streaming service and eliminating those landlines. So that's what we're going to do it.
And I wanted to mention that just because of your earlier question about the technology that Ryan uses. There's so many moving pieces and parts in that office. And any of you are encouraged to come visit us at any time and look at the setup that we have in the broadcast in the control room, and touch and feel stuff as long as you don't disconnect us. But, there are a lot of moving parts in there, and Ryan just does a phenomenal job with it.
Is it an hour yet?
Almost 5 minutes, Ryan.
Wow.
So
I never could have done it alone, Jane. Thank you.
Told you you'd do it.
That's all her, man. Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. That was very informative.
Do you know your counter states? Do most other states have a similar radio talking book?
But not all. They're actually, the number of radio rating services has shrunk. This is where I'll kind of brag on us, you guys. We really have done a phenomenal job. Perhaps some of you may remember we used to get state funding, and we no longer do. And we have done a phenomenal job not only of staying funded, but staying active. 45 years is really a long time for a nonprofit. And a lot of states have not fared that well. Mark, without looking at a list, I'm going to guess maybe half the country, half the states in America have radio reading services. There is a national organization called the International something of, I forget the, Jane, I bet you'll remember, the IAAIS. And it's essentially a national organization of radio reading services from around the country and really the world. We have a yearly conference, and so they're essentially a support network. And that number has been shrinking. So,
what was the acronym again?
It's
IAAIS.
I'm sorry, 1%.
I have the mic, so be quiet. IAAIS. It's International Association of Audio
Information Services.
Information Services. See, we do make a good team. IAAIS. Many of the radio reading services across the country, and I don't know the breakdown, I've asked for this number, some of them partner with their local NPR station and are part of that bricks and mortar setup, so they're able to share equipment, share IT, share resources. Others are part of a school system or a university. I don't believe there's that many that are standalones like we are. I'd like to know that number. But many of those that are part of an NPR, and I don't know if that's the right, public television, or a university or a school, as there's been budget cuts and cuts in their funding, they have lost funding and have gone away. The Kansas service was hit with, I believe, a $400,000 reduction in their budget, not just theirs, but I think they were with the NPR station. And so they went away. Our budget is about $260,000 to $270,000 a year. And so, and that, you know, supports everything. Rent is high, salaries, copy machines, all of that stuff. But a lot of those services have closed because of the budget cuts. So it's not thanks to Ryan and Becca and I, it's thanks to our predecessors that did a great job of fundraising and setting up a legacy fund and the restricted grant fund that we are, and then the ongoing grants that we're able to continue. And you can ask anybody in the office, I'm very frugal, and so I dole out the post-it notes, and not really, I'm not that bad, but we have had good stewardship over the years of our funds, so.
Do you find that, In the last decade, as the services you provide are moving more online, or at least being duplicated as online services, and not just radio or SAP broadcasting in the state boundaries of Nebraska, are you finding that you guys compete with other radio reading services around the country? Because now somebody can access your service from anywhere. And they could access radio reading services from any other state. So when it comes to programs other than the local newspapers that might be more audience agnostic, not just interest for Nebraskans, do you feel like you're competing with other radio reading services around the country?
That's a very good question. I think because most of our content still is local, you know, if somebody from Alabama is from Nebraska and wants to listen to the Nebraska stuff, they're going to tune in. But somebody from Alabama can't tune into our service and hear anything about Alabama. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of both. We often get calls, or when I do a presentation, somebody will come up and say, "Hey, I've got a brother in California, and can I do this for him?" We always have them Google California Radio Reading Service, and it will come up, and they can find if there is a local service.
I was going to say that I think one of the nicest things I heard about just working in your office is that sometimes in the break room, Ryan says you guys drank beer.
That's right.
And now that's recorded officially.
Oh,
thank you.
Well,
for that,
I'm sure
Robert.
There won't be a rush of it's new employees.
Very occasionally, we will have a celebration in the office. Yes.
Well, that's nice.
And if you guys all want to come in, come ahead and we'll have a party.
Yes, ma'am. Are you plans to stay out at your current location?
Oh, that's a Jane question.
That's a great question. That's a great question. Our lease is up in June of 2021.
Okay.
So we are looking at other options just because of a couple of different things. We're way up north by the Emmanuel Hospital. Our building is completely CHI, and it's psychiatry and addiction services. So we have lots of good company. Whenever we get stressed, we know where we can go and
which is
get
about
some
every
help.
Day
yeah.
For Manny.
So you know, oftentimes that are new that are coming to see us, they're going, why are you guys here? That building used to be full of nonprofits,
right.
And they're all gone now except for us. We've been there since 1992. So we are looking at options. We may end up staying there because of the issue of moving all that technology.
Sure.
I feel it would be nice if we were more centrally located. But we have volunteers from Tecama to Bellevue to Westo to Council Bluffs. So we are looking at options. If you know of anything, let us know. Good question, Mark. Thank you again, guys, for having us, and thank you for your support, your ongoing support, and all of the organizations you guys are affiliated with, you know, the OAB and the ACB and NFB and all of those alphabet soup things. And we appreciate the collaboration and the partnering with all of those organizations. It's very helpful to us.
I just want to mention real quick that we are a resource. We've been running the heck out of the PSA for this meeting, for instance, and so I hope you'll think of us when you need information disseminated. We don't do as much on-location broadcasting as we used to. Paul loved to set up his little rig, and we don't do that quite as much, but we're still certainly available for that. Next Wednesday, we're going to Lincoln. We're actually going to interview Greg DeWall, and at some point, that will be a community conversation, and I still want to get Jeff Altman in and Robert. We had Robert in already. We've had Nancy, and so we have an excellent... Oh, Carlos, yeah. We had Carlos in, too, and... You guys, we appreciate your coming for our 45th anniversary party, and so I just want to mention that we are a continuing resource. We're happy to cooperate however we can, so please don't hesitate to call us if you need information disseminated or you want some kind of interview done. We have a recording space available dependent upon broadcast time. So think of us, and thanks for having us this morning.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We used up the whole hour.